Like you're on mic.
On the mic.
Like you're spraying bars. MCD to the P.
Into him.
So we're just going to start with quick 16.
Quick 16, you ruin it. Just turn off.
But yeah, Dan Paley, MC.
Jesus. Yeah. Nice to be with you, boys.
Yeah, in my house, mate. In my house. Excited to have this chat buzzing. With you, bro.
Yeah, man. Buzzing.
Proper. Lot to cover. Yeah, but brief introduction. What's your name? Where'd you come from?
I have to think about this. Name's Dan Paley from Doncaster. Where dreams are made.
But it is a beautiful place, Doncaster, man. It's always sunny. Yeah,
we're blindfold on.
And can we talk about the Townsend?
Yeah, so...
Mr. Mountain Bike.
So, yeah, like, that was kind of my first... that was kind of like... I had a little BMX when I was, like, 5, 6 that was just, like... is like a little universal thing, like a little 16-inch thing. And, like, I was still just young, you know, wasn't really, like, knowing if I was into it or not, just did it as, like, a mess around. And then rode that and then snapped it a bunch of times and my dad welded it back loads. And it was just a mess around, you know. I didn't realise that I was, like, actually liked riding or whatever. And then after that, I was like, oh, you know, I actually want a decent bike. But a lot of the people that I was riding with had mountain bikes. This one lad, Pete Russell, he had a Kona and he liked downhill and stuff. And I was just like so like infatuated with his riding and like so like, well, I was like, I want a mountain bike, you know, looking at like the shock and like suspension and just like, you know, a BMX back then. I mean, even now, but like a BMX back then compared to a mountain bike, it was like, well, like, you know, like mad vessel, and I was just like, well wanted one. And then that's what pushed me onto that. And but then my mum and dad weren't gonna get me like a mint downhill bike or, you know, like something sick. So I ended up going to a bike shop, I remember, before my birthday, and I was like, I want a mountain bike. And it was like, that was the, you know, do you know what I mean? Like that was like an entry level, well, it wasn't even an entry level bike, it was a bag of crap to be fair, but like, you know, my parents weren't just going to splash out on like a mega good like mountain bike.
No, but we're talking how many years ago? 20 years ago.
Yeah,
an entry level mountain bike.
Yeah.
It probably was.
Yeah, probably.
Shit's come on a long way, hasn't it?
Yeah. So yeah, I ended up on that, just this wee guy about, you know, this big, like riding this full size 26 daft thing, you know, just trying to lug it around, just riding dirt jumps. I'd go down to the local dirt jumps near me and just like hang up on jumps and just put massive holes in landers, and everyone had just been not stoked on me at all. And that's what led me to actually get a BMX after that, because everyone was just like, yo, man, you're literally about 3.5 foot tall. Like, what are you doing on a mountain bike sort of thing? Because it was like, I couldn't control the thing. I was just holding on and it was just going wherever it wanted. And it was just like, it was only after that, like, everyone saying like, oh, you should get a BMX, that actually made me get a proper BMX. But the Townsend was definitely like the start of me being like, I love being on wheels, I love riding, I love jumping, like, well into it. So yeah, and then it led to the BMX from that.
Rad. So the BMX scene around Donny was pretty strong.
Yeah, I mean, you know, thinking back to it now, it was like we were all just a bunch of lads just dicking around and just building random dirt jumps, you know. But the scene was like mint. Like there was a local bike shop called Extreme Sports, and they did like shows about and stuff. And they had that Pete Russell, and then they had this guy Daz Roberts, like mad guy, like proper mad guy. They'd set van up, right? They, like at this school, they'd like set a van up, yeah, and then just a grass lander and just this like sketchy little booter, and this like Daz Roberts is just hitting it on this BMX, these chrome bars, 4 pegs like 5 inches long, just like jumping over van, yeah, to complete flat on like grass, just like, but doing like huge one footers and like, you know, just like, wow. Like the maddest like steez ever. And like, I remember Pete Russell, I remember he jumped at one show, they had a ramp and then a little Land Rover the other side. It was so sketchy, and he was doing like double head grabs, like over it on Kona. Yeah, over van.
Double like, head grabs.
Yeah, double head grab. Like mad.
I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
Did he bring that on van?
Head grab.
I want to see that, mate.
So it was just like the scene were mad because it was like it. It's not like it is now where it's like a solid scene, you know, where you recognise. It was more just a bunch of guys just like
going for it.
Just local, just going for it, just having a laugh where they could, you know. It was like it. So yeah, it is a scene, but yeah, it's just.
And what point we, because obviously street, but it was jumping first on BMX.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like my whole background's been dirt jumping, like ever since like the first like BMX before the Townsend. It was like sketchy dirt jumps, just like bomb holes dug out of the field and then stacked up into a jump, just like hella sketchy. And then that progressed through to more dirt jumps and venturing out to so a place near Scoresby where my mate Frogger and Kyle and that had like built a bunch of dirt jumps, like they were almost like the first like proper trails that we ever rode. So that was pretty mad. But yeah, like the whole way up to, you know, probably being like 15, from being like the age of like 9 or 10 to like 15 was just dirt jumps, because that's all we had. You know, we didn't have skate parks. Like Doncaster, we didn't have skate parks. We didn't have indoors. We didn't have concrete. Like, I didn't really know what street was. It was just dirt jumps, because you could go with a spade and just dig it, you know?
And
like,
you don't really have the strength to enjoy street as a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
You need something to get you airborne, because you're not pulling yourself off the ground, are you?
You're not going to couldn't even hop onto a rail, you know what I mean? Or even a ledge.
It wears you out, doesn't it?
Yeah, sweet. Big time. And I was always a small guy, like hella small guy. I mean, I'm not that big now. I'm probably about 5 foot nothing. But yeah, just back then it was like hella small. So anything with a lip was a bonus.
But, mad, I can't imagine you as a kid, mate.
Smaller than I am now. Same size head.
Ball of energy.
Heart like lion.
Dandy lion. Too good.
Yeah, man.
No way, never heard about that stuff. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah, dirt jumps was definitely like the start of it. And then skate park came from that. We just had an indoor skate park built near us, about 4 or 5 miles down the road. And then me and Kyle would literally just ride from Branton to Rossington, which was like a 4 or 5 mile ride. And we'd do it every day after school. Like every day after school, get back, we'd just ride there, ride for all night, and then ride home afterwards. And then we met loads of people from Rosa there, met my mate Pat and stuff like that, and Daz, and like, you know, still see people and that now. And like, I'm actually, you know, real good mates with Pat, and like met him from going Rosa. And he was actually a rollerblader. He started out as a rollerblader, and it's only when he's seen us coming on BMX and that, he was like, yeah, I want to get on BMX. And he just absolutely, like, killed it, mate. He was so sick, man. Doing flips and everything back then over huge jump.
Could
boxes,
he flip on rollerblades before?
I'm not... There was a foam pit, right? So there was a foam pit, so, yeah, wow, like...
No way. Indoor place.
Indoor, yeah,
proper.
Yeah.
Like bones. We had bones. They didn't have a thingy, but
foam
pit.
But
indoor ramp.
Yeah.
Two leaks.
Yeah, mate, but that's the thing though. You compare it now, like everywhere's so nicely brushed and like plates at the bottom of the wood. Mate, my mate Ad, literally slammed his face back in the day, tore all his face open. Basically, the bottom of the volcano, like the timber stopped, there was a gap, and then the timber started again on the floor. So he slid down the volcano on his face, literally planed his chin off on the floor.
And he's a joiner now, isn't he?
Yeah. He's actually a joiner.
Stanley House, son.
Beast in wood, like, come here, like sledgehammer. I was being that. Just going sick. But yeah, like, mate, just nails hanging out of ramps, just holes, like, I remember at the quarter at the back, there was just a hole on the deck that your foot could just go in, like, if you put your foot on it. Just so sketchy, man.
Mad.
We used to have a similar ride to Bone Skate Park. It was probably like 5-6 miles into Stockport from Poynton. And one day, Sambo had ridden to ours. Then we set off and it was raining. Mm-hmm. and we rode down this cut through like a dead bumpy road with sprint. You know, it's like you sprint on your BMX, don't you? Sprint, men roll.
Done
a bit of a sprint. Burst. He went for a manny, back brake didn't catch. Looped out, smashed his new phone on my way there. So then he was like,
it was probably
spewing.
About that big.
Little Sony Ericsson with a slidey camera.
With aerial
thing.
That pulls out. That's what it was like, though, wasn't it?
Anyway, he gets to Bones, and we're like, right, tyres are wet. So we'll just have a few laps, like trying to get the tyres dry. Yeah. But the week before, we'd learn quarter to quarter over the flat bang.
The wall ride.
The wall ride at the back.
I remember. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that.
And Tammy was just so keen, he was just like pedaled in, drifted up the quarter because of his wet tyres, hit the quarter going, the wall ride going pretty slow, sort of was coming down it. As he hopped off the quarter, he slid out the other way.
And it just
at the bottom,
just slipping.
At the bottom of the wall, of the quarter, there was like a secret little alleyway with some stairs up to like the deck, and his bike slid past the wall as he slid out, and he just caught him on the chin, and he just went full speed.
Oh,
head bang.
No,
this,
mate.
This like stud wall was just wobbling.
Bare headed connected.
I know, mate.
Oh man, he just smashed his phone when he did that, and he gets up, walks over, he's like, gonna get a Lucas aid.
We were just like, oh mate.
But he nailed, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's a big charver, mate. I'm gonna say I'm surprised there are any wall left, you know what I mean? Just some pile of sawdust on the floor and just stands up, just spits on it.
Well, I don't know, them early days skate park crashes, yeah. They beat you up, don't they?
Yeah, mate, big time. Because you don't know how to crash, do you, when you're younger?
No.
Well, that's what you realise as you get older, how to fall off, isn't it?
My favourite chin story, thinking about that, is you at at Leon at Pef's Jam.
Yeah, about Ruthless.
When he dead keen again sent that.
Too keen, man.
You were first guy riding, I'm pretty sure, one of, wasn't it?
On the solo.
Solo,
one
open
break.
Face lift.
Open face.
Everyone's on like big setups and the... What was
that step down tonight? Well, that
you got the session going, mate. No, we were all waiting a bit anxious.
We were all
hyped.
I'm doing it.
Open the bottom up, and then you were just charging up with everyone.
Short, connected your chin on that, on your stem.
That big step down, just full hang up, just smashed my chin off at stem. I remember looking at you, and I held my chin, yeah, and I was like, you're going to let go of your chin, and your chin's just going to drop down, and all these teeth are going to fall out your mouth. That's literally what it felt like, because the shock that went through my head, yeah, I was like, there's no way I've not knocked any teeth out. And then I remember looking at you and going, actually, like, I had little chips of teeth in my mouth, and I've still got the holes on my teeth now, but like, I remember just like spitting out a couple of little bits, but I was like, actually, I'm fine, I'm sound. But then you were just like I remember touching it, and it would just, and I was like, is it bad? And you were just like, I think you have to go to hospital. And I was just like, when I got there and showed the woman, she was like, yeah, we need to get you seen straight away. And when I actually looked it, I was like, holy shit. I was like, this is bad.
It was a good 4-inch, like, oh, and because it's that bit, it just opens up. It's just like
a bit of tension on it, isn't there? So it does, it splits, doesn't it?
Opens, yeah, and you could just see my jawbone.
I would definitely, I was shocked at it. I was like, I can't just be like, wow, you've messed your chin up.
Keep it positive.
Well, that's, well, I could tell that's kind of what you wanted. Just thinking about it afterwards, I could tell you're kind of like, it's all right. And then I thought about it afterwards, I'm like, yeah, we're definitely holding that back. You just want to be like, yo, that
put
is
put my arm in
up.
It.
Kick it back in.
So we blasted to hospital, didn't we? And then
yeah.
I went back, carried on riding, went back again to pick him up, come back with that chin pad on, and then next minute you're just doing dip freeze over that, jump again with chin pad on. It just...
It, mate, it was good because it didn't...
Power.
It like, it, we were knocked at confidence, but then like after when it had been like sewn up and I got cleaned up and I sat down, I drove back, I was like, actually, there's nothing that's like stopping me from not riding again. You know, you usually if you hurt yourself, or you know, if you even like you gash your elbow, your leg open, your
swells
leg hurts,
a bit,
or, yeah, and it's just sore. But then like just my jaw, you know what I mean? It gets sore from talking too much anyway, so I'm pretty used to it. So I was pretty used to it. But yeah, no, everyone were getting me hyped and behind me and that, and it was just like, yeah, just get back on it and have
that,
it.
Was that your first, that when we went Peeler, that was your first mountain bike trip, wasn't it?
Proper, yeah, like first, like proper, like having a go on, like, you know, rocky
mountains,
and I just didn't even know what, I was just like, hold on.
You were holding it down, man.
Holding it on for dear life.
We were blasting in trains and he'd hear you shouting and we'd be going well and just thinking, Pales is on us, like, he's blasting. You know, that first mountain experience is always scary, but.
And it was mad starting all the way, driving all the way up to where it was snow, starting in snow and then coming down and ending up in like 30 odd degree weather where you're sweating. And it's like at top you could have done with a jacket, but then at bottom it's like you just want to be in your underpants. Do you know what I mean? Like,
were we on with Lorenzo?
Yeah.
Was he doing us up with?
Yeah, he was.
Was he?
Yeah, all the way
on the resorts?
No, it was Lorenzo.
Was he taking us alpine?
Yeah, high alpine? Yeah.
And you didn't put a brake on?
No.
Did you put a front brake on?
I did, yeah. Because I always rode that bike one brake from when you gave me that red 5010. Because you gave me that without a front brake. Because it was you that started doing that. He was like, oh, just ride it, you know, small little, like, jibby kind of bike. Just run it one brake. And I remember I had that Nomad, I think it was, and you were just like, oh, try that. And I was just like, I loved it. You know what I mean? So then I had that for when my 5010 for when we went Peel, but then I rode that without a front brake. But then obviously I had to put it on for that stuff. And I'm glad I did, because I would have been absolutely toast. You know.
I know, but I just have memories of you like locked up. Sliding.
I think that was probably front and back brake.
Big skids.
For the record, I don't know anyone who rides one brake like you, man. The speed and control under one brake is insane.
Just learning from you boys, learning the lines.
No way.
But then you're dropping
completely
in
on your own thing, man.
Yeah.
None of ours is beyond.
But then, like, the commitment, like we've seen at that sheet trails when you dropped in blind, no brakes, like that level, just like the way your brain must work compared to ours.
I think we were a little bit drunk then as well.
Yeah. That will have helped.
Yeah. Loosen.
Go for it.
Nicely loosened.
But that's what I thought with, like, so, like, watching you guys, like, me going down Peeler and just holding on for dear life, it's like, I'm watching you guys and it's like, you're doing that speed and more, but doing it with, like, stees and, like, slapping shit and stuff like that, but I'm just like, go fast, hold on, you know what I mean? And it's like, the more you ride, the more you realise, just, like, loosen up and just find the pockets and find the little bits and stuff like that, and just realize, like, a lot of it is like, a lot of, like, what I find builds confidence is following someone down something and watching the line that they take. And that's what happened at, like, sheet trails. I was just like, oh, if I follow these, I'll be sound. But what I didn't realize is after that hit where it dropped down, the jumps just went absolutely massive. And I wish I had kind of looked at it, because it was sketchy. But just like, you know, if you follow people, you sound. But so, I mean, you can't be thinking like that all the time, but a lot of like what I've learned from like trail riding and stuff is just following you guys, like just watching what you guys do and following and just finding the pockets. And I guess a lot of it is copying, but it's, for me, it's inspiration. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you're saying. When like I find following people, because I'm not that confident with like jumps, especially first time if I'm not hitting something. But when you follow someone, you can just sort of like,
oh mate, the confidence boost is insane.
Yeah, and just like you almost, they're taking you on, aren't they?
Yeah. Like, you're almost hooked onto. It's almost like you're hooked onto the back of them, and there it's like Mother Goose taking out the children for the first flight, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. So. You're reading, like, it's all about reading the terrain, isn't it? And it's like you're on their reading. You're just.
Sweet, that works.
Yeah. I'm getting that boost.
Exactly, man. Having someone in front of you riding and especially someone who knows what they're doing, it's like just follow, just keep the gap the same, because then your speed's the same. If you're closing up or distancing, then you're not keeping the same speed, and just watch the lines. Watch, because you're hitting stuff, you know, you're hitting fins and stuff, and you're just like, you know, too far up or too far down, or going too tight inside or too wide.
You can change it all,
especially when you go in them speeds. Like I've had it. I remember going. I remember going
Inman.
to.
Bushman.
Bushman. Martin Bushman.
Binman's here.
Was it Binman?
No, I don't know. I'm
like Martin Bushman's here.
No, it's, yeah, that's, like, some of my favourite ones of them is like Whistler. Whistler's I remember sick, like following man. Alan Whistler's and Craig.
Sick. Mate, that was
and
insane.
Not doing, I can't, what's that? Is it Dwayne? No, what's that line called?
Dwayne Johnson.
Is it? It's not Dwayne Johnson.
The Rock.
Trespasser.
Not Trespasser. It's got like a step down in it where you go and you, it's a bit blind and you take off and it's a fair size one. There's a big rock on your right. I can't remember what it's called now. It'll come back to me. But I remember just never look. You just end up when you've been riding bike park for a little bit and you know that everything's sort of that built the same, and then you're just following someone first time and just copying them, and then you're just like, what am I doing? If you were to stop and look and think, I've not even looked at this, but what people can take you through when
hesitation's a killer, isn't
it? Yeah, it is.
Hesitation is such a killer.
Yeah,
definitely.
Thing what's trippy about the trails bouncing back a little bit is like riding through a set of trails, dirt jumps, you can set off at the same speed as somebody, but how you behave on the takeoff and the landing dictates so much difference, doesn't
it? How you go in, how much you're pushing through.
Push through, miss the sweet spot, lose pace, or pull up, land, boost, and then like, but it can vary, the same terrain, it can vary so much, can't it?
Yeah, especially on lippy jumps, I find. You know, like actual trails, like BMX trails. I feel like you say, with the lips being so steep and the landers being so steep, it's like if you're letting the lip take you, you can go 8 foot in the air. But then if you want to push through and skim jump it, then you go in 3 foot over it. And the distance in speed and trajectory that makes is so, like, you know, for trains it's mad because someone can be pushing lips,
distance you're
traveling, someone can just be going up, and I've had it loads of times where I've been behind someone and I'm just like, I'm closing gap, and the next thing you know they're taking off and you're taking off and you're just looking underneath and you're like, holy shit, I'm gonna hit this guy's back wheel. And it's like, just because I've been pushing to try and keep my speed, but they've been just carried the speed more at the beginning and just finding that sweet spot and just boosting. It's just such a
crazy
difference,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's mad.
First time I ever met Pales, shows up to my house and we've been chatting over Insta and stuff, and like, I already could tell, like, this guy, I'm gonna get on with him, and he shows up with this Argos lid,
12 quid.
It was like this thin plastic thing, and then like inside it didn't even have padding, it just had like these like foam sticky
pad things.
Yeah,
what, like you say, it wasn't even like that styrene kind of padding, it was just plastic. And then no way. And the face guard, you could push it in and it touched your chin. It was nothing. It didn't do anything. It was just a visual.
Man, I remember seeing a picture of that on the ground or something.
That was so I could ride.
I never witnessed it.
That was so I could ride Black Mountain. That's why I got that helmet, because I just had a normal BMX helmet. And I remember my mate Kyle was like, I'm not going to let you ride with that. And I was like, right, well, I need a full face helmet, but there's no way that I'm spending 300 odd quid on an helmet. So I went to Argos and got a 12 quid kid's helmet. And I've got a big head as well. So it was like sticking it on, like just losing circulation to my head.
No, it was a fun day though. I remember we went to that step up and none of us had. We've all wanted to three it before, and none of us had, and Pales came through with that energy.
Was Craig there as well?
Craig,
it was me, you, P and Craig. Yeah, I remember that. That was a sick day.
It was. It was all good.
We all tackled it, didn't we? We all went in and had a spin.
Yeah, but you opened it up though. Wheel of Year, I think like 2016
2016.
Yeah.
Or 2015. One of them. I'm 2016 actually, I think.
Like when you did that remember that was close to when you did that hand plant.
Yeah, because you drove over just
scab mine.
Yeah,
because I remember, like, because again, like, I'd never seen anything like that, like, especially over a tree, like, you know, like seeing like people hand plant spines on BMX back in the day, but when someone's like, oh yeah, I'm like on this 27.5 trail bike and I want to hand plant over this tree, and it's just like, what, like, just Mad. I remember that day like yesterday, because I just remember Max being there as well.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
Screaming, just like, whoa, like, just couldn't believe it, mate. Honestly, hyped for that, mate. Honestly,
I remember ringing you. You were like, I want to be there when you do that. And then, because he's obviously close to my dad's, and I was I'm going to have to ring him and tell him, like, I'm going to do it today. I think Pearls woke up, and he's like, yo, like, give me an hour. I'm going to make it still. I'll be there. And he comes.
Yeah, I was stoked to see that, man. So stoked.
That was so cool.
And then I'm just thinking, like, Pearls is coming over. I've got to do it now. And then
mate,
it was just
you tackled it, mate. You fucking did it.
Oh, cheers, man.
No, first one, not again. No, you did it, mate. You did it. Like, smashed it, mate. It's such a hype. Max there as well, just screaming, I remember. And you did it so perfect, man. So good. And then the bike got passed down, and now it's snapped in half in the garage, and I just feel like a right.
You did it well.
Small red.
He had a right life. I had it, then P had it, then you had it.
Yeah. Snapped it, Bestwood on
P
that step down.
Some heavy shit on
P went nuts on it.
Absolute mantle.
P went. Yeah, that bike did well.
Yeah, I remember hanging up at Bestwood. They had that North Shore drop. I remember nollying off of it and then hanging up.
You blew his shoe off, didn't you?
Yeah, I remember that.
That was wild.
And I remember being like, oh, shit, like, just cased it, I'm all right. And then went back up and did it again. And then I, like, looked at the top tube, and there was just a gap in top tube where it, like, obviously, because the shock mount was on the top tube, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, it like, the compression had just obviously made the top tube just want to, like,
fold
down, do you know what I mean? So, where the mountain was, it had just opened up, like, a half-inch gap.
And just like, plus I don't with know nollying how, off, like, you'd like...
Yeah, going up to bring
like,
it down.
Yeah, you've like almost just pushed it into it.
Big time.
I just don't get how I didn't notice it in the performance at bike, because it must have put an extra like...
must have slacked
an end tube off about another 20-odd degrees, do you know what I mean? I was like looking at it like, what? But no, that was a beast bike. That got me hyped, that man. That bike really got me hyped on mountain bike,
that
for sure.
That was first small I had. I remember first time riding that tiny wheelbase on it, wasn't it? I remember coming into this turn, Scandiing in, and it just kept going. So I like slapped Scandi and it just kept me going. I just went straight into berm on my face. Just,
that fingernail.
Yeah. And I was just like, wow, you got to be careful these little twitchy bikes.
They do bite back, don't they? Yeah. From time to time, and bite back.
Catch you and spit you out.
That's like what I've seen with you who's dialed now. With, like, especially over hand pants, I guess it kind of puts you in a nice position to do it, but, like, you as well.
But just,
like, the master of getting out of a situation, which, you know, like, bailing, like, out of crashing, like, getting off it.
Yeah.
One thing, like, then, yeah, for sure. And that's a thing that you develop as you get older, I feel like. The more you fall off doing certain things, like now, I'll never put my hands out when I fall off. I'll just curl up into a ball, and I'll take it to my shoulder, and that's why I did my shoulder in at thingy. What's that?
Bowl hills.
Yeah, because I went over at bars and tried nose manning this thing, flew over at bars, and your first reaction is put your hands out. But then when you put your hands out, you're gonna break your wrist. Like your scaphoid, as you know, like scaphoid is like the worst bone, one of the worst bones to break in your body, and it's so easily broken because you know you put your hands out, and that jarring. Motion is what breaks him, and it's like now I'd rather just curl up into a ball and take it to my shoulder or something like that. And that's what you learn as you get older. You're like, right, I'm not gonna do that this time, I'm gonna curl up into a ball. And I guess you just learn it as you get older. Definitely. You realize,
I'm sure you can dig the clip out. We're up Solars, you were still on your commons, maybe it wasn't on your commons.
No, it was Commie when he took and rolled on that, but
yeah, on that left hip,
yeah,
slid. And it was all gnarly.
Maybe
he was riding your bike that day,
That was that purple 50-10, mate. That hip, that left hip, and my feet blew up, and I went all squirrely.
Yeah.
I almost hit that tree. I literally, I remember my foot brushed, like, because I was like Supermaned off the back kind of to the side, and my foot just brushed past the tree. That would have been a stretcher job, that, like, easily.
Big tuck and roll on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like rolled like an army.
I think it was before that. Were doing like the nolly shape,
right?
On the commie that day, and you had no lid on. I'd been with you many times at this point.
What? Oh, right. So
you're on your common sound. Remember?
Right. Yeah. I remember that day, but I just can't remember the crash.
But well, maybe it's it like wasn't a left day, hip, and you just like back up off from the there, hip,
and it just. And then you were like in midair.
It just fucking dumped on you.
My bike did like a weird style and stalled out. And then
yeah,
I dumped.
Lying.
Yeah. And that was like a tuck. That was a tuck.
I remember thinking like.
Yeah.
Full track
this Jackie
suit.
Chan. Yeah. Just like. Barrel rolled in air, landing on feet. Just bounced out. I'm like, who's this guy?
That's the thing there. Like I, you
tuck
know.
And roll.
I think I have just confused two sessions, haven't I? I think that was like a year later.
Yeah. I added as well because there was that one where
many
I went
tuck
on
and roll.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's been that many. It's like, how do you know? Do you know what I mean? That many tuck and rolls, that many tumbles. But yeah, it's just like with leg. It's just like with leg breaking knee. Like the biggest mistake I ever made was stick my leg out. I like back. Like I did a gap at Asylum Skate Park, the old one. I did. Basically, it was 2 days before my birthday. Me and a few lads back from Donny. We booked a minibus to go and to go down to Newquay and have a weekend and that for my birthday. And then a couple of days before, I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to go and have a ride before I go away. Do you know what I mean? So went to Asylum and I can't remember who I was speaking to. I was like, has anyone done this gap? It was like a little quarter to a vert wall. I was like, yeah, a couple of people have done it. Someone turned down it. I was like, oh, well, if people are tricking it, it's sound. Do you know what I mean? So cranked across the park as fast as I could. Ended up hanging up on the side of the vert wall, bounced off, and like I say, I stuck my left leg out, thinking that, you know, like my initial reaction was, oh, stick your toe out, you know, get contact something so then you can, but worst decision I ever made, ended up snapping my knee, like almost lost my leg. Like, I wish thinking back now, should have just curled up into a ball and probably got a broken collarbone. Or like, or
if
even,
maybe if just a tuck and roll is crazy what you can
crazy
get
what
away.
You get out of yeah and the biggest mistake I made was I bounced off and I landed sideways. I remember just sticking my left leg out, thinking that I was going to put that down first and I'm going to break my fall. Knee just exploded. It, like you hear, I remember it's almost like a little PTSD kind of things because like if I think about it too much, I replay the sound over in my head, bang, like as it landed and like the pain, and it's like you have to kind of like stop thinking about it because it is like minor. Like I'm not going to say I've got like not trying to say I've got like heavy PTSD or anything, but there is definitely times when especially when I'm on the bike and I'm thinking about doing stuff and I'm like I want to do this, and then I think back to that and I play the sound. It's almost the sound more than the visual and what I was feeling, because the sound was so, it sticks in my head. It's just like a cracking sound, you know what I mean? And that was just my knee exploding.
Severe trauma is going to do that to you, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
of course,
like,
man.
Severe God. Trauma.
Yeah, like, man, like, you know.
Both my ACLs were both stupid things.
Just
like,
putting your foot down. Yeah. I remember you telling me the other day about your other day. That is, mate, that is savage. That you are a savage for just walking that off, mate, and just racing again after blowing it, mate. That is
stupidity
savage.
More than all.
Nah, mate, that's savage, man.
Yeah, not wanting to acknowledge what's gone on.
Yeah,
like,
just
oh, I'm good.
It, yeah.
Well, just paying for my, I paid for my flights to race EWS in Colorado and Whistler, but I did my right one a year after doing my left one. It was 2 weeks before going to Colorado, but I'd already played for my flight, so I was like gutted, crying my eyes out.
Yeah,
you know,
of course,
and then like thought, well, if I can, I could walk around on it, and I like, well, but I'd like fractured my tibia. The ACL had pulled it off the bone, and like. That's but I had awesome. This knee brace, and anyway, I managed to get round that race and Whistler. But I was severely crooked after that. I remember not being able to. Remember Stevie telling you, he's like, I was in a state. I bumped into him in Whistler, and he was like, "What's up with you?" I'm like limping around, like, all my back was all like crooked.
It does your back in as well, doesn't it? Like you're compensating, like all your muscles and everything are trying to like compensate for like being over one side and.
Just limping for weeks. Yeah,
mate, I can't imagine, because one thing about doing my knee in is from when I did it to it getting fixed, I never walked on it with it blown out. Mm. Like they kept me in hospital for like just over a week for the inflammation to reduce enough, because there's nothing connecting the lower part of my leg to the top part of my leg apart from skin. Apart from skin and blood vessel. It's an internal decapitation is what it was called. It's like everything was torn.
So
but in that respect, it's like it was fixed and then I rehabilitated from then. So I can't imagine what it's like to have like a knee or a leg where you walk in 1 minute and then next thing, because I remember like Alex Donaghy, like he did his ACL and he was saying, he's like, honestly, man, he says, you'll be walking. He says, it's fine. Next thing you know, it like, it feels like it wants to jump out, you know what I mean? Because your knee relies so much on that stability of the ligament, you know?
Yeah.
So that's pretty mad. Like
I'd learned from just doing my left one is like swelling management and like, like mobility, and then I just had a knee brace on which wouldn't let it hyperextend. So like I'd be riding thinking you can't put your leg down in the corner, and if I did I'd be like a minute on bike just like stood up just grimacing like and then it'd be sound again. But it's just things you do, isn't it, to keep riding is stupid.
Mate, well that's the thing, you just want to ride, don't you? You'll do anything, like you'll ride through injuries and you know you'll be like, oh it's sound, you'll make, because you love doing it, don't you? You don't want to be like sat down by something like that. But the fact that you did that, mate, like that's off, mate. I think that's warrior shit, man. Like,
proper warrior shit, bro. Proper warrior
mad
shit.
Mad man.
100%.
Mad times.
But it only makes us stronger though, doesn't it? Like you realise again. You realise, like, worst injury in my life, well, my ankle was pretty bad, but my knee, I almost lost my leg. And that was just like, now I'll never, ever put my leg down like that ever again. It's almost built in my head to not, like, do you know what I mean? From that trauma, it's almost like, and I guess you probably get it with you slapping your foot down on a tight turn or something.
You know where it's weak. You know where it's vulnerable and strong and when it's vulnerable and you just won't ever go. I mean, there's times when you're, like, flailing in air, cartwheeling, you can't control it.
Yeah, of course.
But, like, majority of the time, like my right one, I did it pulling myself back up onto a ledge, like just one footed squat basically, and just flex sideways. And then my left one, I was just doing a long jump in wind, and it just blew me off, and it was hyperextended, put it down, and it just bent wrong way. And it's just like,
doesn't take a lot for your ACL to go, man. Look at that Tom Aspinall. You know that Tom Aspinall in the UFC? He just had that fight over a week.
I didn't see that.
He kicked some guy in the leg, right? And literally, it looks like nothing's happening. You look in the comments and people are like, oh, I definitely took a dive. Like, definitely, like, you know, bookies paid him or bet bookies were buzzing on him, you know, taking a dive. Like, just because his leg's not wrapped around his head, like, just because you don't see, like, a physical dislodgement. Like, you understand how little of a movement it takes to make that tiny, thin piece of ligament to snap, like it's not a lot
of rotation, like,
mate. You can see when he kicks him in leg, mate, in slow mo, he kicks him in leg, and as his leg comes back,
probably pushing it back, isn't it?
Exactly, dislodging it. And you can see it's like he sits down and his knee's like trembling like this, and it's like you can tell him, like, I straight away went ACL.
You can't fake that,
He's like, whoa, you can see in his face, man, he's not milking it, mate. He's snapped his ACL, king someone, and then turns out he did his ACL, his MCL, and his meniscus. Apparently, just shows you he kicked him in the leg. It wasn't a dislodgement
the kicker checked himself from
kicking him. Yeah, the other guy checked it. You know where he like?
Oh no!
Yeah.
So he shielded himself.
The other guy checked it, so then he ended up hitting like the side of his knee or something, because they usually go for like the quads or like your calf. You know, the muscular, because
dead leg.
But the way of checking is to like scrunch up and take it to the side of the knee or on the bone. Do you know what I mean? And that's what's happened. He's gone bang like that, and it's obviously just popped his knee out. But you don't see anything in the footage.
He's had a mechanical.
Yeah,
he's
mechanical failure.
It's
a bit of mechanical failure.
DNF.
Mechanical. Yeah, man, but I hope he comes back anyway, man. Like, sick guy.
Yeah.
Another warrior. But that's
crazy.
Yeah.
Not for me, Matt.
It's real. Crazy,
mate.
But you had a mad break on your foot, though, bro. Like, you come back
you
from
can catch
mad
me
break.
Racing the week after, boy.
Yeah, but, mate, that's the, what was it? Liz Frank's fracture. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
It has its own name. It's like dislocated. It's where your like tarsal or your navicular like breaks away from the rest of your foot, and it's like a full dislocation.
Yeah.
That's mad, man. Like,
you wrote it finish, man.
Quickest way to the ambulance. Like, crowd.
That is warrior.
Home.
That is mental. I remember I watched that GoPro for it. Is it a GoPro?
Yeah.
Watched that a few times. You're just coming up to that jump, you're like, I'm having this, and it's just like take off, landing, see you later, just to flat, mate. And then you're like, boom, like that. But then you get over the line, you're like, I broke my foot. Like, you can't even tell, like, it's almost like you can't even
tell. Cam, you can't see, can you?
Yeah, you almost can't tell, so you're like, what? Like, what's going on? Yeah. And then you get over there and you're like, I broke my foot. And then Peter comes over and you sat down and everyone's like, whee, like that. And like, you're like, nah, I fucking broke my foot. And it must have just been the maddest, like, zone to be in, just your foot just being that dislodged.
I went to put, it was like big, for whatever reason, my foot come out of a pedal, but when I went to put it back on the pedal after it had hit before,
oh no,
I was like, there's something in my shoe.
Oh, foot. No, like a rock in your shoe.
Yeah, like, there's a rock in my shoe. Oh, and I looked down and I was like, oh no, my shoe looks normal and my pedal looks normal. And then I tried again. Oh, and I was like,
something's not right. Yeah, there's definitely not a rock in there.
So abnormal, the feeling of weight on that much breakage,
but the adrenaline at the time and like the buzzer being in the race is obviously you're not thinking.
There's no like pain there yet, I imagine. Yeah, just
numbness almost.
Surely like the feeling or like the just the feeling
something's
of like,
not right.
Wow, my foot is not normal with that shape.
Yeah.
Like, the pretty mad shape, but
pretty mad shape anyway. But even madder.
Mate, brutal. That is.
Come back sick from that though again, mate. Can't tell at all. Like, you're boosting, steezing, doing everything, mate. It's not.
Didn't they say if you were a runner or a footballer or something, you'd be.
They're trying to say
loads.
They just say that, don't they? Yeah, it's like, career over, you're never going to run again. Da, 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 da. And that's what I started doing. It was like, cool, I'm going to run. I'm going to start with half a mile. And I'd run half a mile and it'd kill.
Yeah.
Then I'd run a mile and I'd be like. That was when I actually got into running. And I did like 13 miles before the next races, and I was like,
13 miles, that's ruthless, man. That's loads. That's more than that's boxer territory, that. That's ruthless. Mm. That's savage.
Head game, innit, running.
Yeah,
like,
breaking the barrier, innit.
It.
Yeah, man, mad.
Definitely wasn't really running on the home stretch. It was like a, like you were saying in Wiss, some shape, moving yourself under
buckle
a mad
wheel.
Shape. Anyway,
well, no, sorry. No, I often forget that you've done that to your foot, mate. Like, honestly, because you never complain about it. Like, it probably does ache and that now and again, but it's never like, oh, I can't do this because my foot or whatever. You just able.
I think it's
to
probably the strong, probably stronger. Really, yeah, because all them bits, a lot of them have like healed with way more scar tissue than they had before and whatnot. It's like it doesn't have the mobility it used to, but it's definitely got the thickness.
Yeah,
it's built.
Bit of packing in there.
packed up, strong.
That was Jag days, wasn't it? We were both on crutches. You bought an auto Jag.
Rear wheel drive. Like.
Yeah. I was like, got home. I was like, auto trader. I'm like, within 20 miles, over 2.5 litre, automatic. They were the thing. It was just like, Jag. I'm like, oh yeah, V6. I'm like, oh, man, maroon. I'm in.
With cream interior. Cream leather interior.
First drive, I was coming over to Chef to see you and Smellies with Jack Ellison in, and you know that big roundabout near. Before Dronny. Over the Dronny side.
Yeah. I know which one you mean.
Long, weird roundabout.
Yeah, it's like oval almost, isn't it?
Yeah. And I come up with, you had to like pre-book it because when you
put your foot down,
it'd be like,
lag on it.
One gear down, two gear down, three gear down. Right. It just take ages. So I'm rolling at this corner a while off, my foot planted, just waiting for it to down gear and get the revs up. And then it just spat in. I was like hanging this turnout, running a bit wide. This car came flying down to the junction. I'm looking out the side window like, my back end's going to take him out. So I shut off, big swap on him. And that was the first time I stood on my foot. I just went to brace for impact. I was about to go down to like, you know, from the top side of a roundabout. It's like staggered, isn't it? Yeah, I was going to go down this bank and I like just jumped on my. Well, I just went to put my foot.
Like, just brace yourself.
Yeah, just brace myself and just stood on the brake because it was a massive brake pedal on me.
Yeah.
I had my boot on. I was just like, and I wrestled it back in. Foot was just tingling. I'm like, oh no, mate, God, all wires
not
and stuff in it. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Crazy.
Ruthless. But we're there when you needed it, though.
Yeah, it did the trick. Exactly. Kept me on the tarmac.
Funny.
Yeah.
Funny times.
Healing in there. The road to recovery is a trippy one, isn't it? Yeah. Gotta it do is, what mate. You can.
Definitely you're thinking, what can I do to get back on?
Quickest. What can I do to do it the proper way, to do everything I need to do, get back as quick as possible. And everything changes, man. Like, for sure, you do. You have to really tell yourself, look, I'm going to do this. I'm going to commit. Because think about rehabilitating, like, you know, any of our injuries. It's not a couple of week thing. It's like a 6 month to a year kind of thing. And
long game, mate. Long game.
Exactly. And I'm not like, I like my pleasures and stuff like that. And I, you know, you can easily give in and it's hard to stray away from something and stay dead on track. But then when it's something like that, it's like in your head, you're like, if I don't stick to this and if I don't tackle this head on, and if I don't do the stuff that I need to do this, it ain't gonna get better and I ain't riding a bike again. And it's when you're presented with something like that that you're like, I need to take this seriously. So that's the difference, do you know what I mean? It's like you can go, oh, you know, I'm not gonna drink this weekend, or you know, I'm not gonna do this, you know, I'm not gonna eat this bag of sweets, but then, you know, I'm gonna stop eating chocolate, but then a week later you find yourself, you know, because I do it myself. I'm like, oh, you know, as much as I like to eat healthy, it's like, oh, chocolate, you know what I mean? And I'm not gonna eat that today, but then later on in the day, I bought myself a bar of chocolate. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, but then when you're presented with something like an injury, where you're like, if I don't sort this out, my career and my happiness is over as I know it. And it's like,
well, you've already had to sacrifice. You're already sacrificing so much, but then little things seem like nothing. Debate is like, I need that back.
Yeah.
And I will do anything right now.
Yeah, to just be back riding now, I'd do anything, 100%.
And to feel them like marginal gains towards healing. So if you're waking up in the morning,
noticing those little increments,
capsules, or you're doing whatever you can to like reduce your swelling, or it's just you feel like you're doing it. But I feel I get like guilty if I'm like injured or whatever. Mm-hmm. You're just doing something. Whatever, you might have had a few pints and you're just thinking, nah, this, you start feeling guilty like,
because you're like, you know, you start thinking,
I'm doing damage.
I'm slowing it down a couple of days, you know? Yeah, no, totally, mate, totally. Yeah, you've got to be on it, mate, especially on that stuff, haven't you? If you want to get back. And luckily we've put the time in, and we've all, you know, each one of us have had really bad injuries, and we've come out the other side and we're sat here now talking about it, and we can go out riding tomorrow.
Yeah.
Whereas if, like, you know, I was in physiotherapy when I did my knee. I was in physio with people, and I was in with this one guy, and I was like, oh, what happened to you? He was like, oh, I was just went out for a run after work. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, I went out for a run, stepped off a curb, blew my ACL. Didn't even step on it adversely.
Wow.
Just stepped off of a curb, boom, ACL went. And it was just like, it feels so crap, like this and that. And I'm like, talking to him, like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, well, you know, I just go to work and, you know, I rest at home and then I come here and do physio. And I'm like, yeah, that is why you feel like crap still. Because you're doing this once a day, you're doing this once a week. You know, like
stagnating the rest of the time. Like,
you need to be doing the other way around. You need to be doing. I was going to physio and I was doing an hour physio, and then I'd go home and I'd do more physio, and then the next day I'd do physio again, and I'd do physio 5 times a week because I was using that physio session as a basis for my progress, and I was using it as I was watching the exercise they were giving me, and I was like, well, I'll go home and do it. I'll order a medicine ball offline. I'll order some bands and stuff like that. It's like you end up in a physio class with a bunch of people and like, oh, you know, I feel like crap. And it's like, yeah, well, because you go to work and then like I get it.
Gets
like,
tired and sore, and then you
work's crushed your spirit. So then at the end of the day, you don't have the beans to keep doing more.
You need to find time for your health, or you'll be forced to make time for your illness. And that is so true, isn't it? Like, and it works with injuries as well. It's like you can make an excuse and be like, I've got to work, I've got to do this and that. And it's like, okay, if that's your excuse, right, and then you're going to feel like shit, then, you know, you're going to be forced to feel like that. It's not like, if you want to not be forced to feel like that, then you have to take control of it, and you have to, you know, you have to use it, you have to benefit yourself. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just like sit around and, like, oh, it's
and if like and if it's sore or like a lot of times I've had something that's sore or swollen, you think I don't want to move that because it hurts.
Yeah,
but then you go to the physio and then they're like
the pain may push
it.
You through.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, you're like, yeah, wow, exactly. And then you come out feeling better. But whereas if you say like mate, you've done his ACL it running and then he's gonna down, work it, yeah, and he's just thinking that hurts, I'm not gonna move it. And then 6 months mate. Down line, and then they're like, oh, I can't run no more, my knee's bad. You know,
it's all crystallized and gone gnarly, scar tissue, so hard to get rid of at that point.
Yeah, yeah, because that's another thing that I was like a bit misguided on earlier on with my knee, because I didn't get told. So my knee doesn't bend all the way. I've lost about 10, 15 degrees of it. I don't really notice it. I notice it if I squat and stuff, but you know, in riding and stuff, I don't really notice. But when I was going to my first checkups, I didn't go to the hospital for about six odd weeks, and I got there and the physio was like, did the hospital give you any movement exercises? And I was just like, no. He's like, you need to get this knee moving. He's like, I can't believe, like, I'd not moved it. Wow. For like weeks.
That's such a long time.
It was just
it?
In a brace. In
for
this
a
like,
joint to be stationary.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, I personally think, you know, I've had my knee cut open from the front, from the side. I've had it all, like, I've literally had my leg like taken apart and then put back together again. So there's a lot of scar tissue in there. But I do think that if I'd moved it a little bit sooner, I'd have probably only lost about 5 degrees as opposed to like 10, 15. Because, yeah. You know, like, because the more I read about stuff and the more I see, mobility is such a huge thing. And mobility is the first
circulation
thing.
Circulation, promotion,
exactly,
like
exactly.
That.
Circulation, bringing new blood, taking old malignancy away and bringing back new blood to repair. And, you know, and like you say, keeping it the mobility there and moving everything around and just getting it out of there. Because like you say, it just solidifies and calcifies. And
one of the trippiest things with my foot was like where the wires were and stuff. It was they put them in when it was fat and they weren't sticking out, so the wires were internal, but they were like still sharp little and the more my foot
shrank the more they
poked out.
Hellraiser foot.
So then I'd like wake by the end, because it was 12 weeks between first op and second op, non-weight bearing was 12 weeks in the end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So by the 10th week, the swelling was so much less that I'd wake up in the morning and I'd just want it to swell up because wires were trying to get out the skin.
I remember
it shrank so much and they're like pushing
could
the
just
beam.
Feel it like it was trying to stab its way out.
And then I'd like not. There was this one big scar on the top where the majority of the trauma was like in the inside of my midfoot.
Yeah.
And my scar, the skin's healed to the bone.
Oh, it's yeah. You've shown me that. Yeah, yeah. You've shown me where the surface of the skin, you can see where it dips.
Yeah.
It's in when you move it, it sticks
in and it won't
move.
Travel.
Yeah,
it's
yeah, yeah.
Like, it's all just healed together. And that was 12 weeks. Just like, like the physio was amazing. We did Harrison Ross and all that, and Darren and Nico, and shout out to everyone who helped me because
goes a long way, doesn't it?
Yeah. It goes such a long way. But the majority of the work we did was to just keep the leg
moving,
and not get insane atrophy from just leaving it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
deterioration. And I was so scared with the Graston tool and my like. Wafting that thing near me, I'm like,
get away. Blunt knife.
So I like avoided as much of that as I possibly could. And then like after 12 weeks, that they went, I think they might have even gone back in there. So then it got double cut and bing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd never get that off. I don't know how I'd get that skin off that bone.
Yeah.
But if that, without like in your case, you know, you can lose mobility in a joint, static, stationary stuff is dangerous, isn't it? Yeah.
Because like you say, the bones obviously, like you say, you've had wires in your foot, the bones obviously broke, the bones obviously bled out, the surface of the skin has obviously
been pushed against it because it's so
swollen. And because you've not been articulating your foot and moving it, it's just obviously bonded from the bone through to the skin. And, you know, I mean, luckily it's not, been like no. Luckily, it's not detrimental to.
No,
the,
it don't bother me at all.
But
it's
you
just
can
crazy.
See, you just know it's there.
Yeah,
you know
it's just crazy that shit happens, isn't it? Like your body does such a good job of healing,
it
can overheal and cause your mind can't it?
Well, that is actually a condition, overhealing, you know. People, that is actually a legitimate condition that some people have where the body overly produces.
Well, like calcified.
I think I seen a thing once where someone had like scars on their arm and they were like raised up like loads, like insane amount. Do you know what I mean? And your body can overly produce scar tissue. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's actually a condition. So, I mean, I don't know how that would affect us or our situation, but imagine like breaking your foot or your knee or something and your body overly producing scar
growing
tissue
back more than it needs
and then that causing mobility issues, so there is that.
Probably like hockey's widgie bug and your knee could be like that. It's just like a bit of overproduction of
because hockey had that lump
pen lid. Yeah, his
pen lid. Surgeon dropped pen lid in his knee.
Mr. Bean style, just dropped it. Fish out.
To get pen lid dug out.
I can't
out.
Believe that. Because I was hoping that after seeing that about hockey, I was hoping that the same would happen with my ankle. Because when my ankle broke, the corner of my talus broke off, and then they tried sticking it back on, and it didn't take. And then we went to Havoc Bike Park that day, and I did a 180 bar fly out, and I landed with all my weight on my left foot. And I remember it. I remember hearing like that, and I was like, that's that bit snapped off. So then I ended up having a massive, after that, you know, a couple of months after, I ended up paying like 17 and a half grand for a massive operation to have plugs of bone taken from my knee and put into my ankle to fill that out. But what that meant is now, rather than having like a smooth cornered talus, I have this like step down, like, I always thought, I was just like, surely like that's not gonna feel good, like if it's meant to be like a smooth articulate surface and now it's like this step down like jagged kind of weird thing.
Stair set, literally
but I was like, but feeling it now, it's like it's like smooth. But then I was just thinking, like in like hockey's case where he had that bit of like calcified, you know, had that bit of cartilage and that almost calcified and got bigger.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I wonder if that happens for my talus as well. If like
fill itself
time,
in.
Yeah. If it like I'm, if it'll thicken out and fill those gaps out.
Probably,
you know,
mate.
I mean?
Well, probably.
I'd almost say so because I mean I do get a bit of like soft tissue soreness, but like in terms of like the pain I used to get from walking from that hole was insane. Like I was limping and stuff. But like that surgery definitely sorted it out. But like even now looking back at my x-rays, I'm like, it's like half my talus is like stepped down. And I'm like, how is that working? But then I must, and then I think, but it's surely it's calcified to like an extent, you know? So
mad.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Crazy. The internals of this.
Yeah, mad how the body works.
It really is.
How it breaks and repairs and stuff.
Amazing, isn't it?